It is now 2:01. We will begin the Palm Beach County Transportation Agency's Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board. I'd like to call to order the July 29th, 2020 meeting pursuant to the Governor's Executive Order Number 20-69 and TPA Emergency Order Number 2020-03. The Palm Beach TPA is conducting the meeting virtually using the Zoom webinar platform. The TPA selected this platform because it does not require the public to purchase or download any additional software or equipment to attend this meeting. Aside from the Zoom webinar platform that the participants will use to attend remotely, the public will have no discernible difference in their ability to watch the meeting from that of someone physically attending the meeting. Instructions to join this virtual meeting, as well as contact information for a TPA staff member to assist you, are provided in the published meeting agenda. Please note that although some members of the board are attending the meeting in person, LCB members will be appearing at today's meeting remotely, either via webcam or telephone. Additionally, scheduled presenters and the LCB liaison will also be appearing via webcam or telephone. Before we begin, I will summarize our public comment procedures for this virtual meeting. Written documents, comments, and questions can be submitted online at the website provided in the agenda. Verbal comments can also be made live through the Zoom webinar platform. When you wish to be recognized, please use the raise hand function with the Zoom platform and then wait to be recognized by the chair and unmuted by the meeting host. Lastly, an in-person visitor may submit a comment card available at the welcome table. Now, if we could have a picture of the American flag, I will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you so much. Now, staff, please call the roll so we can establish a quorum.
Stephen Grant.
Present.
Tomas Boynton. Angela Choice.
Here.
Jeannie Christman.
Present.
Alisa Kramer.
Here.
Elsa DeGoy. Marie Dorsman.
Here.
Robert Goodman. Maria Hernandez.
Here.
Robin Manuel.
Here.
Angela Morlock.
Here.
David Rafaitis.
Present.
Merlene Ramnon.
Here.
Takesha Saffold. Laura Schultz.
Here.
Valerie Sana.
Here.
And Nancy Arnell.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is a motion to adopt the agenda. May I have a motion to adopt the agenda for July 29th, 2020?
Motion to approve.
Second. Got it. Margie, do you need me to state?
I can repeat it if it's easiest for you.
Okay, that would be wonderful.
So I have a motion by Dave and a second by Alisa.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor, please state so by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, state so by saying nay. Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Hold on. I'm getting a call. There we go. So next we have a motion to approve the minutes for May 13, 2020. May I have that motion?
Motion to approve.
Jeannie Christman,
second. So I have a motion by David, a second by Jeannie Christman.
Yes.
All right. All those in favor, please state so by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes unanimously. Comments from the chair. Nothing really. Look forward to hearing from staff about how we've been handling COVID throughout the summer and what the future plan is for the safety of our drivers and passengers. And now we'll turn it over to Alyssa for the liaison's report.
Mayor Grant, I'm sorry, just want to note for the record that Takesha Saffold has joined the meeting.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm just waiting.
I'm sorry, Alyssa.
It's okay.
Just a little delayed with her.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Takesha Saffold. I do apologize for my tardiness.
No worries. We are glad that you are here with us.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, hi everyone and welcome back. Happy quarter one meeting for the local coordinating board. So on today's liaison report, we have a couple of items I wanted to highlight. The 2020 to 2021 Innovation and Service Development Grant through the Commission for Transportation Disadvantage. The commission actually announced a second round of proposals for the grant. The applications are due this Friday by end of business day, July 31st, 2020. For more information in the grant, you can visit their website at ctd.fdot.gov. Item two is the CTD Trip and Equipment Funding Allocation Study Public Workshop. This is something that we have been talking about for quite some time now, about the annual trip and allocation funding amounts that the counties are getting yearly. They are trying to revise the way that they do the methodology for the allocations. This is going to be the third public workshop, and this is on Friday, August 7th from 9:30 to 12, and it will be held over Zoom. The third item is, again, CTD annual workshop is canceled for this year. This is a workshop that TPA staff, myself, and another staff member attend every year, including an annual business meeting. And sometimes we do have LCD members join. Unfortunately, because of COVID, it is going to be canceled. However, they will still be having their annual business meeting taking place on August 26th. For more information on workshops, meetings, and other events that the CTD hold, you can check out their website at ctd.fdot.gov/ctd calendar. So the TPA recently finished and published our interactive comment map. This map is published on our website now. We are collecting transportation-related data, concerns. It allows anyone from the public who visits our site to go in and plug in and go on our website, and it looks like an interface like this. And you go select which type of comment you want to submit for, if it's lighting, pedestrian, bicycle, transit stop, whatever. And you can go, that is public now. So that is available on our website at palmbeachtpa.org/commentmap. We are still looking for LCB member presentations as always. This is something that I do anticipate picking back up for our LCB meetings when we are meeting again in person. LCB members are encouraged to provide a 5 to 10 minute presentation on how your agency and what you do every day at your job relates to what we do as the local coordinating board and how it relates to the transportation disadvantage. If you're interested and have not yet presented at an LCB meeting, please reach out to me and we will get you on the schedule for the next one in person. And lastly, Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA, just celebrated their 30th anniversary last weekend on July 26th. There is a year-long celebration and you can find more information on this at their website, adaanniversary.org. And that is it.
All right, thank you so much, Alyssa. Do we have any public comments on this item?
No, Mr. Chair.
And does any of the board members have any comments or questions on the liaison's report? Hearing none. All right, we will move on to new member introductions. Do we have any new members?
There are no new members this quarter.
All right, we move on to general public comments. Do we have any general public comments? Hearing none, we will move on to action items. Motion to adopt the fiscal year 21 LCB bylaws. The Florida Commission for Transportation Disadvantage requires the LCB bylaws to be updated and presented annually for approval. Do we have someone that will be presenting them?
I will be presenting that.
Thank you.
Okay. So for members that have been here for over a year now, you are familiar that every quarter one, we always approve an update to our bylaws, and the screen froze, but it's okay. So the purpose of the LCB, this year we will be doing an overview of the bylaws, and I will go into that now. So the purpose of the LCB is to identify local service needs and to provide information, advice, and direction to the on the coordination of services that are provided to the transportation disadvantaged population through the Florida Coordinated Transportation System, meaning that we identify local service needs and advice and direction to PalmTran Connection, who is operating the paratransit service for the transportation disadvantaged folks. So the bylaws and what we do again as an LCB is governed by section 427.0157 of the Florida statutes. And it identifies the LCB or local coordinating board as an advisory body to the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged and the community transportation coordinator. Florida statutes defines an advisory body as a body created by specific statutory enactment and appointed to function on a continuing basis for the study of problems arising, meaning that we are, you know, always here and going to be working with PalmTran Connection on a continuing basis to identify issues in their service and recommendations to improve their service for everyone. So the LCB bylaws are very important because they guide the proper functioning of TD services and the coordination. The bylaws also provide procedures and policies for fulfilling the requirements of Chapter 427 and Rules 41-2 of Florida Administrative Code. The bylaws also set the requirements for the transportation disadvantaged transportation services. That is it. You were all provided a copy of the bylaws in your backup also.
I have a question. Are you ready?
I will note for the record that I don't have any public comments on this one. If you wanted to go ahead, David, with your question.
Okay. I think it was on page 3. It talks about the amount of money in the transportation trust fund. Can you tell me how much money that is, or just generally?
So that is part of the allocation study, and Lou, feel free to jump in because I think you might have more specifics on the numbers available to us in the transportation trust fund. That is money that, you know, is collected by the state. That is not something that is localized to us. And every year funding is taken out and given to the DOPAs and the CTCs for planning the services that are required by the bylaws. So everything that we do throughout the year, whether it be bylaws or grievance procedures or TDSP or CTC evaluation, there's a certain amount of funding that is allotted to that in addition to the funding provided to PalmTran for the TD services. So that money comes from that pot. But again, I don't have the exact numbers on hand right now. That is something I can get you if you want though.
I think for 2018-19, it says here that there was $56.4 million for the TD Trust Fund for 2018 and 19. That's according to the annual operating report for the TD Commission.
Okay, and thank you for that. Does it increase by population or by number of individuals who are transportation disadvantaged, or how, what is a formula to something like that? And the reason I'm asking is that, you know, maybe in a census or something like that, that if it's based upon number of individuals who are using the service, or I don't know, maybe there's some way to get more money. That's all.
This is Lou again. Through the chair, can I answer that, please? Yes.
Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, so from the previous fiscal year to that fiscal year, it actually increased by about $26 million. It's directly funded from there's $1.50 from each registration from motor vehicles, motorcycles, and boats, and that's how it kind of gets funded. If it needs more, then it has to be a special request to the governor, you know, through the legislation to get more funding. I've only seen it to be around that $48 million, $50 million in 18 years that I've been here. So it hasn't really increased proportionally to probably the amount of trips we all have. And that's mostly why we overmatch it by so much here in Palm Beach County. Each year during the TD Day Tallahassee trip, when the advocates go up, they always advocate for more money. It's normally on Palm Beach County's legislative initiatives to ask for more funding for transportation. So, yeah, there's not much we can do. But this board, obviously, you guys could send a letter saying, hey, it'd be great to increase it.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to make sure, you know, if there's some additional way to get money that we take advantage of it, whether it's correspondence at draft or we're in Tallahassee, that we would be supportive of additional money for whatever. With the chair's concurrence, of course.
Thank you. Is that all the discussion we have for this item? Hearing no further discussion, may I have a motion to adopt the fiscal year 2021 LCB bylaws?
Motion to approve.
Jeannie Persman seconds.
All right. Hearing no further discussion, we need a roll call vote. Margie?
Correct. So I will, if you can unmute on your end when I call your name, and I'll have staff help me mute any participants that are having problems. So Stephen Grant?
Yes.
Tomas Boynton? Angela Choice?
Yes.
Thank you. Jeannie Christman?
Yes.
Elisa Kramer?
Yes.
Elsa DeGoy? Marie Dorsman?
Yes.
Robert Goodman? Maria Hernandez?
Yes.
Robin Manuel? Robin, are you there? Let me see on our end. Robin?
Hello.
Hi, I'm sorry about that. Is that a yes or a no and for this item?
It was yes.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Angela Morlock?
Yes.
David Rafaitis?
Yes.
Marlene Ramnon?
Yes.
Takesha Saffold?
Yes.
Laura Schultz?
Yes.
Mallory Sinan?
Yes.
Nancy Arnell?
Yes.
It passes unanimously, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry about that. It passes unanimously. I got muted. Mayor Grant?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted, so therefore nobody heard what I was saying. So on to item B, motion to adopt the fiscal year 2021 grievance procedures. The Florida CTD requires the LCB grievance procedures be updated and adopted annually, and with a minimum commitment of 3 LCB voting members to serve on the LCB grievance subcommittee. The draft grievance procedures are attached.
Hi, everyone, again. So we will run through this quickly. If the mouse wants to click for me this time. Oh, no, there we go, sorry. Okay, so the grievance procedures are used to process and investigate community transportation coordinator complaints from agencies, users, and potential users of the system. This is a document that is updated annually, however, doesn't always have a lot of updates that are necessary. The update that was done this year was actually just updating the mailing address for our agency from our old location at 2300 Jog Road in West Palm Beach to our new location of 301 Datura Street in West Palm Beach. Additionally, with that change in address, the zip code changed. So, as we do annually, we need to appoint a grievance committee with a minimum of 3 LCB voting members. I am ready to take volunteers. And for a little heads up, we don't normally, since I've been in the liaison for the LCB, we have never had any grievances done. This is not something that happens often. But yes, open to taking on volunteers now.
I'm willing to volunteer.
Okay.
This is Jeannie Christman, I'll volunteer. What are the grievances about again?
The grievances are just any complaint that a user, an operator, anyone might have about using connection. So it's something that it's mainly an issue that wouldn't have been able to be fixed or dealt with through connection that would have been escalated up to the CTD.
Okay, since I provide service for the connection, am I eligible to volunteer?
I don't have anything in the bylaws saying you're not.
Well, then I will volunteer.
Okay. And you need
so
one
I
more.
Have David Rafaitis and Jeannie Christman. We would need one more.
Angie Morlock.
Okay, thank you, Angie.
Thank you, everyone.
All right.
And now that actually does need to be adopted.
So may I have that motion?
So moved. This is Elisa Crane.
Thank you.
So we have
second. Maria Hernandez.
And I will do a roll call vote, Mayor, to adopt the fiscal year 21 grievance procedures. Mayor Grant?
Yes.
Tomas Boynton? Angela Choice?
Yes.
Jeannie Christman?
Yes.
Elisa Kramer?
Yes.
Elsa DeGoy? Elsa, you may be muted on your end unless we lost you. Okay. Maria Hernandez?
Yes.
Robert Goodman? Maria Hernandez? I'm sorry, Marie Dorsman.
Yes.
Yes, and then Maria Hernandez was a yes. Robin Manuel?
Yes.
Angela Morlock?
Yes.
David Rafaitis?
Yes.
Merlene Ramnon?
Yes.
Takesha Saffold?
Yes.
Laura Schultz?
Yes.
Millery Sinat? Thank you. Nancy, you're now. Nancy, I think we're muted on this end. If you can unmute on your side.
Yes.
Thank you. So it passes unanimously, Mr. Chair. And then if you would unmute, I believe we muted you after your vote.
Okay, I'm back. Thank you very much. I believe that is it for our action items, and we'll move on to informational items. LCB member training. Alyssa will present this item.
As soon as it loads, I'll do it. There we go. Okay. So today we will go over what the Transportation Disadvantaged or TD program is, the Local Coordinating Board or LCB memberships, LCB attendance, the duties of LCB members, the Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan update, which is annual, the CTC or Community Transportation Coordinator evaluation, and the fiscal year 21 timeline. So here's an overall just view of how the TD program works. We are at the very bottom. We are on the left in the turquoise box, and we oversee and advise the Community Transportation Coordinator, which is assigned by Palm Beach County's Board of County Commissioners to administer the Palm Beach County Transportation Disadvantaged Program, which in turn does the Palm Beach County Transportation Disadvantaged Bus Pass Program. So the memberships that are required for the LCB by the bylaws and the guidelines include the chairman, the representative for the disabled, representative for the elderly, a citizen advocate and user, Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, Palm Beach County Community Action, public education, so Palm Beach County School District and the Florida Department of Transportation, Department of Children and Family Services, Agency for Persons with Disabilities, Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration, Area Agency on Aging, Workforce Development Board, Local Medical Community, Florida Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, and the private transportation industry. I am so happy to say that we actually have a full board right now and no vacancies. So that's really great because not many of every year when we go to the CTC annual workshop, no one ever has that. So it's really great to be able to say that we have a full board. So for LCB attendance, there is an automatic rescission of your membership for lack of attendance. Lack of attendance is considered 3 consecutive unexcused absences. An excused absence means that you as a member notify TPA staff, whether it's me or Margie, of your absence to the meeting at least 1 business day prior to the meeting. You will be excused and that will not count towards your rescission. So if you're going to be absent, please let us know. Annually, duties that we may do include appointing a vice chair, which we did last quarter, reviewing and adopting the bylaws, which we're doing today, reviewing and adopting the grievance procedures and the grievance procedure committee today, and performing the CTC evaluation, which we actually completed last quarter at our last meeting. And this is something that we normally start in quarter 3 and will end in quarter 4. So again, duties that we may do or must do as the LCB includes adopting a Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan, which will be coming at you at the October meeting, the CTC evaluation, which we just discussed, we review the rate model and service models, and we discuss safety concerns, eligibility, and other pertinent issues. And as a reminder for voting, no board member or commission member who is present at any meeting of the board or commission at which an official decision, ruling, or other official act is taken or adopted may abstain from voting. So this is something that has come up before in conversation and question. We are not able to have any abstentions when we vote in this board, unless you have a written reason why you must abstain. If that's the case, please let us know and we will work with you to do so. The Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan, what is this document? Well, it outlines the transportation disadvantaged services and service partners in Palm Beach County. It's annually updated with a minor update and has a major update every 5 years. So the next major update will be happening in 2 years, and that'll be for fiscal year 23. And 40.8% of the Palm Beach County population may actually qualify as transportation disadvantaged. So that's a really big chunk of our population. Transportation disadvantaged population falls in this Venn diagram we see on the bottom right side of the screen. disabled, low income, and elderly, and any variation of that is considered transportation disadvantage. So the community transportation coordinator evaluation is conducted by the LCB annually and is a review of the CTC's performance, or Pamtrain Connections performance. The criteria that is evaluated is dictated by the CTD and is actually already in their workbook that they provide with the planners with. So what criteria do we look at? We evaluate the operations and the performance of the service, and we survey riders, beneficiaries, purchasers of the service, and contractors. And lastly, so this should actually say fiscal year 20 at the top, my mistake, I apologize. But you see in quarter one, that's where we are right now, today's meeting, July 29th, 2020, and we adopted the bylaws and the grievance procedures, and this is the member training. The CTD annual workshop is now canceled. That is the little yellow flag. So there will be that business meeting. If any of you, any of the members would like to sit in on it, you are more than welcome to. It is always full of some great information and open to the public. At the end of October, on October 28th, we have our second quarter LCB meeting where we will be approving and reviewing the Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan minor update, and we'll be reviewing the annual operating report and the annual expenditures report from Pamtrain. February 24th, we will be meeting for our quarter three LCB meeting, and we will be having our annual public workshop and going over the beginning of the CTC evaluation. And our last quarterly meeting will be May 26th of 2021, and we will be reviewing the CTC evaluation findings and recommendations. And that is it for the training this year.
Thank you, Alyssa. Are there any board comments?
I don't see any hands raised, Mayor Grant.
All right, and does everybody know how to raise their hand? You have to click the participants button, and then on the bottom right, they say raise hand. All right. And is there any public comments for this informational item?
No, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, we'll move on to invite Lou Ferrari up for the Community Transportation Coordinator Compliance Monitoring Report.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody, again. Glad we're all okay to have the meeting. So let me just jump into this. So if you want to go to the next slide, please. Okay, so in June 2020, the CTD performed an audit of Pamtrain. So an actual audit company came, well, they were supposed to come down, but obviously they didn't come down. But Thomas Howe Ferguson came down and did a virtual audit, so to speak. So we sent them a whole bunch of information for about a couple weeks before that. And then for two straight days, they were on virtually with us, reviewing all components of the TD program. They were looking at client files, making sure eligibility was done properly, making sure we build the TD properly, all those good things. Monitoring period was July 1st, 2018 till June 30th, 2019. Our last audit was January of 2017, and we were the only county in all of Florida that had no findings. And I'm happy to say for 2018 and 19, again, we had no findings. So that's pretty cool. It says a lot about our program here. The auditor actually, I think his quote was, they have a systematic and complete approach to everything they do here and know where everything is. So it was the easiest audit they had. So I'm very proud of that, very happy about that. So no findings for this year. They did have three suggestions to improve our process. If you go to the next slide, I think we summarize that. So it's just updating the policies and procedures associated with the preparation of the AOR model and the rate model. So right now we actually have a computer system that we figured out how to extrapolate all the data that we need from our scheduling software. They just wanted to make sure what's the background, where are we getting everything, just in case the person that put it all together, you know, leaves, the next person needs to know how to get that. So it was just a suggestion to write it all down. The number two was elaborate on the no's and the not applicable answers that we did. Some of them just didn't apply to us, in their survey. They just wanted us to just elaborate as to why they didn't apply. Like if, you know, some of it was just to rural, well, we're not a rural county, things like that, just give an explanation. The third one was they suggested for us to periodically background check our employees during their tenure here working. Palm Beach County employees actually get the background check before their employment. It doesn't happen while they're employed, so I'm not sure that's going to change, but you know, that was just one of their suggestions. So I'm happy to report to all of you that another audit where we had no findings. So that concludes that one.
Thank you, Lou. I'll open up to the board with for any comments. Margie, has anyone raised their hand?
I'm sorry, I didn't unmute fast enough. Angie has her hand raised.
All right.
Just clarification on the background checks. Were they referring only to PalmTran employees, or does that also include the drivers, the contracted service providers?
They were referring to the Palm Beach County employees that work in the administrative areas, not the drivers. So.
Not the drivers. Do we do background checks on the drivers?
We do background checks on the drivers, but we also are constantly running the MVR reports, checking on, you know, their licenses, making sure there's no points. I mean, Jeannie actually could elaborate on that, but they're constantly checking their employees, and they're also getting drug tested and all that. So they just thought that would be a good practice with the administrative employees just to cover everything. This is a suggestion.
And we do have that. Jeannie has her hand raised.
We do. The MVRs, we do them every 6 months, and we also do the level two, which is the fingerprint check. Every 5 years, that has to be repeated. And I have drivers where we're already repeating that. So we watch it pretty closely, and of course, we're notified if anything happens through our own corporate guidelines as well.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Uh-huh.
Mayor Grant, I do have that Takesha Saffold has her hand raised.
Thank you. Takesha, you have the floor.
Yes. Mr. Liu, for the audit, what exactly, when you mention about the findings, what exactly are they looking for, or how is the audit conducted?
So the audit, normally they would be here in person. So instead I was doing something like this, like a webinar or a Zoom, where they would ask, they would get random customers and say, okay, John Smith, I'd like to see John Smith's eligibility file. So I would have to pull that up, share my screen, and they would see that, you know, do they have an application? Was the application filled out properly? Did we deem them to be eligible? Okay, let's see what they're eligible for. You know, where do they live? Is everything in there correctly? And then that would be one thing. Also, there's the TD billing, making sure we're billing for the amount of trips that we actually had, not that we're overbilling or underbilling, things like that. Are we following the rules of the TD commission of all the rules that are set forth? That actually, it's similar to a juiced up CTC review, we could say. So the CTC review that we brought to you at the last meeting that you guys performed as well as the TPA, it was kind of a CTC review on steroids by you know, a CPA auditor. So they were looking at everything with a fine tooth comb, checking everything, checking driver files. You know, okay, you have a driver for MV. It's John Smith. You know, let me see his driver file. Do we have a background check? Do we have the MVR? Do we have an FDOT physical on them? Did they go through training? They actually opened that up. Did they go through defensive training? ADA training, they went through everything to make sure that, you know, if you say that they're qualified to work, let me see all the driver files that says that they've gone through all the background checks and everything we need. So it was very, very thorough. We sat there from 8:30 in the morning till 5 o'clock, just showing her files and pulling out either driver files or employee files and just trip trends and anything they asked for. So it was quite comprehensive.
Thank you.
You got it.
Mayor, I don't see any other hands raised.
So that was just an information item too. If there's no action on that one. I just wanted to bring that to you guys and brag a little bit. So that's a good thing.
Thank you so much, Lou.
Thanks, Mayor. Do you want me to go right into the CTC?
I appreciate it.
You got it. You got it. Okay, I'll see if you guys want to put that up on the on there. Okay. So for the CTC update, I can go through this, and then we can have some questions, because I know the mayor had alluded to some things that you guys wanted to know. So I'll just go through this first, and you guys can ask me to elaborate later. So as of this moment right now, all modes of PalmTran are at full service for any purpose. So on fixed route and on connection, we have full service out there. So there's no modified service. There's no service only for a certain purpose. It's pretty much quote-unquote regular service. However, it's still fare-free. So there's no fare for fixed route or connection. However, it will be starting on August 16th. So fares are going to start on August 16th, as well as right now on the fixed route bus, they are boarding and alighting. So they're coming into the bus and out of the bus from the back rear door. That front door is going to open August 16th with the fares. One of the things, the initiatives we were having there was we were putting what we call the bus operator door. The office door, or it's an enclosure, which we were actually going to do before this COVID-19 hit, because of what happened up in Tampa, where there was an operator on a fixed route bus that was actually stabbed and killed by a passenger for no reason. We had an initiative that we were going to try and keep our operators safe by putting a barrier up, a door, to keep them safe. So those are almost all in. We still have some buses that need to be installed. So we're also going to be using that to protect them when we open up the fares for all those that are going to be coming through the front and keeping that social distance and all that. The number of people on board fixed route has been limited to no more than 20 passengers. So we are passing up people that, if there's that limit and they have to wait for the next bus. Facial coverings are mandatory to ride. So on the fixed route bus, you have to have a mask or a facial covering to ride. If not, the bus is not going to move, and we're not going to move the bus. We will call a road supervisor, and if we have to call the police, the policeman will come. On the connection side, we haven't really had a problem. It's actually been great on the PalmTran connection side. Our riders have really been good with the facial coverings. If anyone has a disability that prevents them from wearing a mask upon that booking, they will let the reservationist know. We will make a reasonable accommodation to allow them to not wear a mask. So we are socially distancing on the connection buses. We did have a goal of one passenger on the bus at one time, but with the increase in ridership, which I'll get to next, we are having more than one on the bus sometimes as well. So that's that last thing I said is multi-loading. So we are multi-loading now, but we're increasing the social distancing as well. So for that, so you guys understand that, if we have a 6 ambulatory 2 wheelchair vehicle, so 6 seats and 2 wheelchair spots, right now that bus would be a 2-in-1. So we would only allow 2 people to sit in the seats and 1 wheelchair. The larger buses, the 12 passenger with 2 wheelchairs, we're only going to allow like 3 or 4 passengers, so the social distancing with 1 wheelchair. So that's what we're trying to do for that one. Can you go to the next slide, please? So this is just a rider snapshot. So just so you could see, on July 9th, 2020, compared to July 11th, we tried to get the same day, a Thursday of 2019. So the fixed route only had a 13% decrease in ridership. And we think that that's probably because there's no fare. Things are open. We have no limit as to where people could go. And so we had some really good ridership. The Go Glades, which is out there, which is a dial-a-ride now, so Go Glades was up to 163 from 111 last year. Connection had 1,986 passengers on board. Last year it was about 3,258. Now, again, we're looking at more of passengers that are riding Connection instead of trips, just because of what I just explained about seats. So it's all about the seats that are available right now, not just the trips to and from. So that gives us a total, again, we were about 16% less than last year. So that's pretty robust compared to most transit agencies. What we're thinking is it's probably because of that, of us not charging a fare. There's a lot of people on Connection that are going from their home to Publix, Publix to Walmart, Walmart to Walgreens, and then home because they don't have to pay for it. Now, normally that would cost them $10.50. Right now it's costing them nothing. So next slide, please. So just the paratransit summary for you on the Connection side, because that's most of the TD trips. So less trips means the OTP, or on-time performance, goes up, but our productivity goes down because we're looking for that one passenger per hour. So the social distancing that is resulting in higher service hours. So the service hours we look at when we look at our providers that are providing the service, we are still keeping that service hours high because we want that social distancing. We're keeping a lot of buses on the road. Some of the buses are kind of staged around waiting for passengers, and that's a good thing. We are very, very, very fortunate here in Palm Beach County to have the support of the Board of County Commissioners and administration and have the funds to be able to do this. There's a lot of agencies and transit agencies across the country that are cutting services and not able to do this. So they're just cutting services. So we're really fortunate about that. Also, South Florida reopening meant more cars on the road, more destinations open, and more trips. So the trip counts, as I said, are increasing. Just as you can see, in April, we had about 1,115 weekday passengers. In June, for the month, we averaged about 1,750. So the no fares, as I said, changed clients' ridership habits. We think it's going to change again when the fares come back in. And centers are starting to open. The Palm Beach Hav Center opened, which is one of our largest trip generators, and the JARC down in Boca just opened actually on Monday. So those centers are starting to open as well. And I think, is that the last slide? Or no, I have a couple more. Please, next slide. So again, just a snapshot to show you here, ridership numbers. So in January, we had 88,698 passengers for on-time performance of 80.8%. February, we had 85,000 to 78.5% on-time performance. And then in March, something happened. So we figured out a way to improve on-time performance. It's called a pandemic, unfortunately, which we don't like that. But then again, the on-time performance went up. And the reason why is there was less trips. In April, we had 27,664 trips, but the on-time performance was 98.46%. In May, 34,700 trips, and the on-time performance is 97.78. And we're pretty much averaging about 97% on time, just because we have so many buses out there to keep that social distancing, to keep the providers working, to keep the operators, the drivers for the providers working, keeping everybody employed as much as we can. The other big thing I'll mention right here is we did have an influx of that CARE Act money because we are considered this is an essential service. So that is helping us with our bottom line. Most likely, if that didn't come, we've already lost about $3 million in fares since we haven't charged fares since March. So because that CARE Act money came in, that's kind of helping us keep the service out there. And it's just on the bottom here, just so you know what the TD ridership was. In January, we had 12,219 TD trips. In February, we had 12,198. March, we went down to 8,054. April, 2,678. And then in May, a little bit up again, 3,201. Those are just TD trips. Next slide, please. So this is your TD complaint report. So we only had 5 complaints from May until I ran this on July 14th. There were 5 complaints. One was for a cell phone use, which was a true complaint, which we followed up with. That driver is no longer working with us. Then we had another one that was deemed true, which was discourteous. And that I think it was just that at that time, the driver was asking someone to wear a mask and they had a disability that didn't need a mask. So there was kind of a confusion there. So that's your TD complaint report, and I think that's my last slide. So if anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you so much, Lou. It seems like Angela's got her hand raised that I see first.
Yes, and I had Lisa Kramer had her hand raised virtually as well.
All right, perfect. So we'll go with Angela, then Alisa.
Lou, could you just explain again why the gold glades went up? Under the circumstances, you know, it went up a lot and the jobs weren't, you know, I'm trying to figure out why from the Glades.
Sure. So in April, we changed the Go Glade service from a deviated route system to a dial a ride. So now they can call up to 2 hours beforehand and have a vehicle just come pick them up in front of their house and take them directly where they want to go. So that option is a very, very, it's a great option for them, actually. Let's put it that way. It's more of like an Uber service for them. Also, we found that, there's days when it's over 200, 220 20 trips a day, and it's because there's no fare. They're going all over the place in the Glades right now, which is great because it's giving them access to things. However, we definitely think that when the fares are instituted again, that the Go Glades ridership is going to change.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
And then, Mayor, I had Elisa Kramer had her hand up next.
Elisa, you have the floor.
Thank you. Just a question about the facial coverings or the, you know, personal protective equipment that riders would wear. Are there any provisions for riders who attempt to board without the facial coverings? Like, are masks or face shields provided? And then if someone is unable to wear a mask for medical reasons, is a face shield or something else, allowed or provided in lieu of that? Or is it just dependent on that person's medical condition? It would be limited to just one person at that time, or I just wondered policy-wise how those issues are being handled, please.
So it has changed a bit. So it's been a bit fluid in the fact that the first thing was we put our foot down and said facial coverings for everyone. Then all of a sudden it changed when facial covering suggested. Then it was just as Palm Beach County, it was a little back and forth. Then finally it was facial coverings. Now when I say facial coverings, it can be a face shield, it can be a mask, it can be someone wrapping a jacket around their face as long as it's covering their mouth and their nose. So it's pretty much you need to cover your mouth and nose with something. So we're trying to discourage the drivers from having verbal altercations with people. So as far as your question about what was happening about masks and all that, this is kind of crazy, but we just stopped this week. We were actually handing out disposable masks to those that didn't have it, but we were averaging 40,000 masks a week. People were just taking the mask and saying, yeah, I don't have one. And all of a sudden they get masks. So the county found out that we just kept asking for more masks. And they said, you're going to need 400,000 masks, you know, for a month. That's crazy. So no more of that. So now it's on the responsibility of the rider. And I'm mostly talking about fixed route. Again, the connection side, the door-to-door transportation, I have to say our riders are, they actually say, yeah, I want to wear a mask. I want to, but then again, they're usually the only one on the bus anyway. So if someone tries to board the bus and does not have a mask and they verbally say, I cannot wear it for the fixed route, then they'll allow them to board without that. Okay. On the connection side, as I said, we have a captive audience and we know who our people are and we can do that. If they don't have one, the operator can call dispatch and we can make that decision. If we have to bring them home, since we don't strand anyone, we'll bring them home, but we'll make a note to that client file with the next time they call, we'll discuss that with them. So it's been pretty good on the connection side. On the fixed route side, it's been difficult. It's been very difficult.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, I have Takesha has her hand raised.
Yep. Takesha, you have the floor.
All right. I have a few comments and suggestions to Mr. Liu's report, which was great. And he did mention about the face mask, which that was one of the things I was going to mention. And I certainly appreciate the Board of County Commissioner for having the mask for Palmtran and the ridership and things of that nature. I think it's good that if you don't have a mask, you're able to get one from the driver, and they're very comfortable. Secondly, is that we had our first holiday, the 4th of July. I believe, was it the first holiday? I'm not sure, I wasn't here to utilize the service, but it certainly, I speak with many people in the disabled community, and most people were very happy to have the opportunity to use the service during that time. Also on the paratransit side, which I am a consumer of, is that the reservationists have been able to take consumers to their destinations and pick them up sooner before their window time to be picked up. So as a consumer, I certainly appreciate that. Mr. Liu is aware of a lot of these things that I am discussing because I thank him and the staff of Palm Tran tremendously for the service that they do provide. I know this is new for everyone. I'm a advocate for ADA and inclusion and things of that nature. So my only suggestion that I have is that I find, and I don't know if it's appropriate to mention at this time, but I find that some drivers may not be aware, and I know Miss Jeannie Christman is on the line, so I'm glad that she'll be able to take in this as well, how to best assist someone who's blind or visually impaired or other disabilities that may require for things to be done differently now with the pandemic, with social distancing and things of that nature. I've experienced many drivers who try to assist you by grabbing your cane and pulling on it to try to direct you. I think there just needs to be a little bit more sensitivity training done with drivers in that regard. And I would love to certainly assist with that. And that to me will certainly make people more comfortable and make drivers more aware what's more comfortable for the consumers. So I just wanted to add my input. Thank you.
Thank you, Takesha. So real quick on that, we have constant communication with the providers and the GMs over there, reminding them, and Gina will say, can back me up on this, communication has to be different. Drivers need to communicate a little bit better. We do all the training we can, but once they're out on the road, you know, you got 400, 500 different drivers out there. Some have very, very good habits and some don't. So these are the things that we need to know. If you're experienced that, please let us know. And Jeannie would be happy to talk to someone about that to make sure they do the right thing. So please let us know if these are happening on that day so we can look at it and follow it up so that we can follow up with the driver. But yeah, the communication just has to be a little bit different now too. It's just constant communication from the driver to the rider. And yeah, thank you for bringing up holiday service. It was our first holiday service on 4th of July. We'll have that again in September as well. And we're happy to say that Palm Tran and Palm Tran Connection run every day of the year now. So that's great.
And Mayor, I do have that Jeannie Christman has her hand raised.
Hey, Jeannie, you have the floor.
I just wanted to comment for Ms. Saffold. I did see the incident that she's referring to. There may have been more than one, but I know of the one. The driver has been counseled, and it was completely unacceptable and against what we train him. And just for you to know, Takesha, I think we're going to go back to in-person safety meetings because I can social distance in August. So you might want to plan for that. Takesha comes in and does some training for us.
And Mr. Mayor, just one thing. I'm not sure if anybody has any more questions, but if no one does, I'd just like to make a quick announcement as well. So does anybody have any more questions?
I don't see any more hands raised, Lou.
Okay, so I just wanted to let everyone know on the board, some of you have been around for a long time. I got some unfortunate news that on Monday, former LCB member, his name was Mike Nagelberg, he passed away at the ripe old age of 101. He was going to be 102 in August. He was a LCB member for a few years. I'm not sure if, I know Angie probably remembers, but Mike was a visually impaired blind member of the LCB and very active with Palm Tran and Palm Tran Connection. He was a great guy and he was an LCB member, so I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that. And he was going to be 102 in August, which is crazy. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Lou. All right. Seeing, was there any public comments for this item?
No, Mr. Chair.
Let me ask you this. Are there any public comments for any of the items?
No, and I've been trying to note it for the record. I may have missed a few, but we didn't get anything through email, and I didn't see any hands raised through Zoom.
And then are there any partner agency updates?
I don't see any partner agencies as attendees. Right. It's just our members that are on the line.
We were not expecting any.
Okay. And I guess then the next is administrative items. Any member comments?
Do you want me to do that in order, Mayor, or do you want to go by a raise of hands?
Let's do a roll call. That way we get sure, make sure everybody gets touched. And if there's nothing to say, wish everyone a safe and healthy August.
Okay, I will end with you, but I'll do a roll call.
All right.
Okay, I don't believe Tomas Boynton joined. Angela Choice?
No comments. Continue to be safe.
Sorry, Jeannie Christman?
No comments. Just everybody have a good evening and a good week.
Elisa Kramer? Elsa DeGroy?
No comments. Thank you for all the information tonight.
Marie Dorsman?
No comments.
Robert Goodman? Maria Hernandez?
No comments.
Robin Manuel?
No comment.
Angela Morlock?
I just want to say it sounds like it's obvious the staff has been doing a wonderful job, including the drivers, through all of this. Thank you.
David Rafaitis?
Excellent job. I concur with Angela. Very good meeting. Thank you, Mayor. And hope everybody has a wonderful week. No comment.
Merlene Ramnon.
I just wanted to say thank you for making sure that you're keeping our county safe by ensuring that the passengers and also the drivers are actually keeping safe. And I just wanted to applaud everyone for your service. Also that you have a great day today and a good weekend and a happy August. Thank you.
Takesha Saffold.
Excellent meeting, and I'm a part to be a part of it. Thank you.
Laura Schultz.
No comments except to say thank you for helping our kids keep getting to work, even though we're all out of school. Everybody stay well.
Mallory Sanat. Mallory, I'm not sure. I can barely hear you. Are you able to?
Sorry.
It's okay.
Can you hear me now?
No, not
it's very faint.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, and she muted. Okay. Nancy, you're now?
No, she's still muted. Nope, oh, she's unmuted.
No Nancy? Comment.
Okay.
All right.
No,
just you, Mayor.
Thank you again for everyone attending. One of the things that I'd ask our liaison is to give us an update on the county's budget for the LTDCB board, so that we have a better understanding of what happened last year compared to this year, and so we can get a better understanding of how each year the budget's been working through the county.
Noted, and I will make sure to cover that at the October meeting.
All right, thank you so much. And you know, Wednesdays are my day with my daughter, so that's why you may have heard some screaming in the background. And I wish everyone a safe and healthy for the rest of the week. And see you guys hopefully in October.